Subscribe to Kentucky Crazies on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and at Kentucky Crazies on Twitter. You can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
With your hosts, Mike Hicks and Aaron Newton.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, it's been a couple weeks since we've done a podcast, but we're going to come back stronger and better than ever. We're going to talk, of course, big-time football action the last couple of weeks and a big day coming up. And we're going to take some calls from the blue line. And also, we've seen the Cats play. So let's talk a little exhibition basketball.
KentuckyCrazies.com.
Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Okay, of course, you can call the Blue Line at 859-780-CATS. That's 1-859-780-2287, and you can leave us a message, leave us a question, so we can pull you in and make you be a part of the podcast with your voice not built for radio, Mike Hicks. And to my left, at KY Crazy, Aaron!
Woo! I'm here!
We're back and stronger than ever after a two-week break. And
how about them Wildcats?
How about those Wildcats? And now I got to ask you a question. You said in a text earlier, is this our anniversary show? Not.
It is. I happened to be scrolling through my Facebook memories page, and I saw where our very first podcast was on this date.
Very first one.
Yeah.
Wow.
3 years ago.
That's so special. 3 years ago?
Yeah, we're just barely out of diapers.
Oh, my goodness. This is podcast number 35.
Yeah.
And, well, happy anniversary to you.
Too. I brought you some chocolates.
I appreciate it. I got a little champagne in the fridge for later. You know, get a little very white. Well, anyway, that's between us, I guess. yeah, like I said, we're taking a little hiatus again. I came down with a virus that was just something I wouldn't wish on Rick Pitino. And maybe he got it from Catino, but...
I believe you would wish it on him.
I would. I'd wish twice of it on him, but...
Don't lie to yourself.
It was the vintage, lay in bed, barely be able to eat a cracker and take a drink of a 7-Up kind of sick. It was terrible. And I never, ever, ever, ever get like that. It was a vintage, like I said, like when you're a kid and you need your mom to help you kind of stuff. But...
So did your mommy come over and help you?
She actually did, but she didn't come in. She left something at the door for me.
She wearing a surgical mask and
pretty much. Well, gloves. She would have if she came in, but she wasn't even going to come in. She just left it at the door, and mom and dad both came over. Thanks, mom and dad, for like you're listening. I'm sure you are. Thank you for your awesomeness on that. But anyway, bounce back from that, and of course we were talking before we hit record about that. Awesome baseball game with the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland, almost said Cavaliers, Indians. What a game.
108 years. It's amazing. You hear everybody talk about the 108 years and everything that has happened in that time span. It's almost mind-boggling to think. You know, and I was watching the post-game stuff last night on Fox with Pete Rose and A-Rod. And they're pretty funny guys, really. They're not media guys, you know, they're not used to being behind the microphones, which makes it better to me. You know, they're just themselves. But anyway, they mentioned that in 08, when the Cubs won the World Series, their home field was not Wrigley Field. So Pete Rose said, so that's their first World Series in their new home.
That's classic.
So, I mean, that's really hard to believe. As long as Wrigley Field has been there, you can't, in your mind, picture anything else being there, you know, and it's crazy.
I didn't realize. Do you know the name of the first stadium? Did they say that?
Oh, I could investigate it. I know I've heard it at one point because I actually did a tour of Wrigley Field with my youngest son
right
at one point, and they told us then But
shout out to Noah.
Yeah, he could probably tell you.
That's wild, and that even puts a different spin on the 108 years.
Yeah, and I saw some, like, Babe Ruth was 13 years old, and I mean, not 13, what was it now?
It may have been 13.
In 08, yeah, I guess he was, yeah.
Yeah.
He was 13 in 1908, and, like, Albert Einstein was a certain age, and, you know, it was just crazy.
Who traveled the furthest? No, I'm sorry, that's clashing and stuff right there.
But what an epic game. It come down to two teams that had not been there, and, you know, ever, that we've really, well, I mean, they've been there, but not won it. And I mean, just crazy the way things ended up.
Yeah, their coach was very lucky that they pulled him out of that debacle those last two games. He made decisions that the baseball gods were just not understanding whatsoever.
It wasn't just the last game. It was the last two games that really put him in that position to have to make some of these calls. And he's not your norm as a manager anyways. But through the regular season, silly things like that he does, you can get away with. But, you know, not in the postseason. You can't stretch your closer out for three innings and two games in a row, and it's almost three games in a row. But
and Bunning with a man on third with one out with two strikes. I mean, you can be quirky, but that's insane. That's what that is.
But I do know Madden does those things. You know, I'm a Yankees fan, but he was a manager of the Tampa Bay Rays before that, so I've witnessed a lot of these crazy things that he does. But again, conventional wisdom says you have a man on third with less than two outs, you're not going to bunt the ball. You're going to put the ball in play. All you got to do is hit the ball to the outfield. You know, fly a ball in the outfield, scores that run.
Your percentages of getting that run in by doing something other than bunting with two strikes is much greater.
I would think so. And but they won the World Series.
They did.
What can we sit here and say?
Congrats to all the Cubby fans out there. And
he's going to wear the ring next year. We're not.
As a Reds fan, I was really feeling bad for Chapman because he's a competitor like they all are. And to see him crying in the dugout, and man, that's got to feel so. He went from losing the save to being the winning pitcher.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And that was historical. It was really special.
It was really nothing that he did wrong. He was just out of gas. You know, he pitched so much. A lot of people that with non-baseball minds don't realize, you know, you have your starting pitchers that are used to pitching. You know, they can go 100, 120 pitches in a game, but then they don't play for 5 days. You know, where these relievers, they're used to pitching 20 to 30, you know, pitches a game, then turning around and doing it again the next night. So it's a big difference between a starting and a reliever. And so when you're stretching these pitchers out to, you know, he threw 45 innings pitches like two nights in a row, and that's just way too much for a reliever.
I think it's, you know, it's all about routine, and baseball is the biggest routine sport I think there is. You have your day-to-day, you know today's your work day, you know your rest day and all that.
You get to the park at a certain time.
Exactly.
You eat your fried chicken before the game. Go back to the major league movie.
Back in the old days.
Sacrifice your chicken.
You drink your last beer 2 hours before the game. And
Pete Rose puts his bets down, you know, a couple hours before the games.
Like I was talking about at the top of the show, we talked about the blue line, and we're starting to get some calls trickle in, and we appreciate that. So, because we've been off for a couple of weeks, we got a couple in the archive, so we're going to pull one of them out right now. And this goes back to after the Mississippi State football game with Kentucky, getting that big dramatic closing there at the end. Anyway, we're going to go to the blue line with Nathan right now. Let's hear Nathan.
Hey guys, this is Nathan Newton here, better known as KY Crazy Aaron's oldest son. Man, what a game. I'm still trying to get my voice back after that one. There's a few key things I want to hit real fast. It seemed like later on in the game, Steven Johnson's accuracy was kind of hit or miss. I wanted to know what y'all thought about that. You know, there was a few calls that we should have gotten and we didn't, but you know, as the saying goes, that's Kentucky football. But what a game. I loved it. I'm glad I got to witness it with my dad and my son and my brother and my uncle and my papa, and it was awesome. Something I'll never forget. And that's about it. I just wanted to know what y'all thought about that, what y'all thought about the game, how you think we're going to match up against Missouri. And thank y'all for everything you do. Bye, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Nathan. Good call. We like that. And what happened with Missouri?
Back to the Mississippi State game, man. I'm so glad I was able to witness a game like that with my dad and, you know, kids and grandson. And it was so much fun. It's, you know, you have the video up where we can see that. And
actually, right now, let's take a look at that video of the final kick. I call it the kick, the final field goal.
Field goal.
And
he kicks it.
And he does kick it. And you guys, this reaction, I probably watched it 20 times that night. So, Aaron, okay, right now they're getting ready to set it up. Well, you know, what were you guys thinking right there?
To me, I'm because we're so used to seeing Kentucky fail in these situations. You know, the whole time Missouri was driving down the field, I was thinking that here we are again. You know, it's back to it again. And like Nathan said, the bad calls. It should have been a horse collar tackle, and then an extra 15 yards. Well, we don't get that. And so everything's mounting against us.
And it's 50 yards.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, the last play, the pass he gets to and he dives down the ground to stop the clock, 3 seconds to go. I thought, oh, my gosh, we've got a chance. But still, it's Kentucky football. So I couldn't hardly watch. I think I watched the kick, but before he kicked it, I had my back turned. I couldn't watch it. I'm so glad Greg recorded it. As the kick was in the air, from our vantage point, it was really hard to see left or right. If it trailed either way, we could barely see that it had the distance, even though it seemed like it got about halfway there. And then it's like it almost just stopped. The ball just kind of fluttered.
Okay, right now, let's look at that moment where he kicks it. Here he goes. Look at these reactions. It's classic.
I mean, that was the happiest we've been at a football game, and I can't tell you when. You know, it's Kentucky football, but hopefully we're making a change right there.
All right, yeah, and so basically, Cats, we've won 3 in a row. We beat Vanderbilt. We had that exciting win against Mississippi State. And
then we just pounded Missouri. But, you know, Mississippi State, Nathan asked about the passing of Steven Johnson. He's not a very accurate passer to begin with, and that's definitely not his strength. He does fumble a lot. The kid does not give up. I mean, he fights and fights and fights. He'll make a mistake. He'll fumble the ball. He'll throw an interception. But he fights, and that's what I want out of a player out there. You know, I heard on the way over here, I was listening to the radio when they were talking about beginning of the season how Drew Barker and Matt Elam were going to be the keys to our season. Well, Barker's been out, you know, since the second game, and Matt Elam's been demoted and has hardly played the last couple of weeks. And look what we're doing, you know. So the coaches are doing something right now. The changes that they've made. I've always bashed the offensive line, the defensive line. They're playing out of their minds right now. And like I said, back to Steven Johnson, he's throwing around 55-60% on the percentage wise on the season as it is. That's not our strength. Our strength is turning around and handing the ball off to Boone Williams or Benny Snell. And look at the Missouri game where both of them almost ran for 200 yards apiece.
Well, the Mississippi State game, I had a business meeting, but I did get to see the final, I'd say probably 6 minutes of the game, and people went absolutely bonkers whenever that field goal went through. And it was such a great thing just to have, you know, all of that. Like you said, oh no, this is Kentucky football. Yeah. Something bad's going to happen. We're going to miss it. They're going to block it, whatever. And see that go through went great. I mean, it was great seeing everybody so happy. And then, believe it or not, we actually had another family reunion on the other side of my family during the Missouri game. So I barely got to see 2 seconds of that, but I kept checking the score, and it was really awesome to get a win. You expected to probably win, but to do it in such commanding fashion was a good thing to see. Like I said, I didn't get to see any of the game, but I checked the score, and how do we look against Missouri?
Well, I was traveling at the time. We were actually going to Indianapolis, so I used my brain and found the game on the radio.
Ah, what channel?
We have Sirius Radio in the van, so I had to listen to the Missouri broadcasters do it, which is kind of, you know, I miss Tom Leach. You realize how good Leach is when you listen to somebody else, but I didn't want to use the, I know I could have used my phone for, but I didn't want to use the data up. And so, like I said, we have Sirius, so I used it.
It's kind of cool to hear the opposing announcer.
It
sometimes
is every once in a while, but I kept wanting to switch over to Leach and listen to his excitement every time we would score.
Touchdown, Kentucky!
Just didn't quite get that excitement out of the Missouri team. But we just pounded the ball. It seemed like we have a renewed energy after the Mississippi State game. And we have really found our running game. And like I just said, Williams and Benny Snell both rushed for almost 200 yards each. And that's just unheard of. That's what teams used to do to us. You know, I remember two or three seasons in a row, Mississippi State doing that to us. And, you know, an interesting comment from the Georgia coach came out the other day that he said opposing coaches, you know, other coaches of the SEC teams have actually complained about how sore their players are after games playing us because we are that physical right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, you look at Benny Snell, he's finishing games, he's strong at the end, you can't stop the kid. And our offensive line is just playing, like I said, out of their minds. They're doing things now that they haven't done for 3 or 4 years. And a big credit goes to the coaches and Toth, our big lineman, he's the leader of the line. And they're getting things done. And with our running backs, really, run blocking, I was never a lineman, you know, but run blocking should be easier than pass blocking because really all you have to do is take your man that you're blocking and just kind of move him. You know, you're just creating an alley. So you can take his momentum and just create that gap. And that's where our running backs have learned to be patient and wait for the gap to open up. And once they hit it, then all they have to do is beat a linebacker, and then they beat the backfield, and they can bust for long long runs like you saw Williams doing that last game.
I've been in a few lines at Walmart where I think some of the women in there could be good. they get to the front of the line somehow just by moving people out of the way.
Luckily, our running backs aren't pushing carts through the line.
We've got Georgia coming up on Saturday, 7:30 Eastern, on the SEC Network, and we've said this a lot this year. It's a must win, and including me, Mr. Dummy over here, what are some things that can happen with the win over Georgia as far as the big picture?
Well, I kind of disagree that it's a must win now. Okay. This is really the first game that we've had that's not a must win because we've got our fifth win now with beating Missouri. Like I said before, we had to either beat Missouri or Georgia. Because we've got Austin Peay coming up, that's an automatic win. So Georgia's kind of a gravy game. You know, when we've been in Georgia, we're playing for a better bowl. You know, Austin Peay's going to be our sixth win. You can mark it down. They haven't won a game.
Let's get a better bowl. Let's do it.
So, like I said, if we beat Georgia, Austin Peay's going to be our seventh win. And then if we knock off Tennessee, knock off Louisville.
Cherry on top. Cherry on top. Yeah. So as far as winning our division, there's some things that have to happen. Does Arkansas have to beat
Florida? Florida is playing Arkansas. If Arkansas beats Florida, yeah, I mean, and it was the same way this past week. If Georgia had beaten Florida, then Kentucky would have been first in the East.
Okay.
And there's a crazy thing out there, and I don't guess it's going to work out, but, you know, from the hurricane where Florida and LSU did not play. That game was canceled. I guess they're not going to play it. So that could either benefit us or that could hurt us, you know, because that's a game that Florida should play.
Right.
And I guess it's not going to happen. When it first canceled it, everybody thinking, well, what's it going to do to Tennessee now? Because Tennessee was that team sitting where we're at now in that second place spot. So is it going to help them or is it going to hurt them? But, I hope it doesn't matter. I hope we win. I hope Arkansas beats Florida. And then we'll have to take care of Tennessee, who is missing their leading running back now, who just transferred.
It's pretty amazing to see where just a few weeks ago, you know, we were in that major complaining, jumping off the ship mode, and we never jumped off ship ourselves, but it was easy for people to talk about that, and now we're talking about potentially, you know, winning the division, and that's pretty special stuff.
You
right
know,
there.
It's those fans are still out there. At the Mississippi State game that I was at, the first quarter, somebody in a row in front of me to the right was already yelling about Stoops getting fired, wanting somebody else to coach. And I thought, I don't know what else the man can do. You know, he's taking it all. from everywhere you look, from the call-in shows to, and he's really gathered his team, and man, they're playing out of their minds right now, and I love it.
I mean, I don't understand those kinds of people that just complain for the sake of complaining. I think that's what it boils down to. They're not happy unless they're sad or mad.
They have to have something.
Or pissed off about something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same way in basketball.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'll never forget the time. I probably brought this up before, but you and I were the second row from the top back in the 2003 team that went 126 straight.
I love that team.
And, yeah, me too. And we were literally the second row from the top. And once we got up there, I remember saying, I want to, you know, say that I was in the top row of Rupp. And, we, you know, that step, that steep climb, once we got, I was like, I touched my finger on the top and said, that's it. Screw that. I'm in the top, you know. But it was during a timeout, and we were actually playing Georgia.
Georgia, yes.
And, you know, the crowd, it was a moment where the cheerleaders were, you know, wasn't real loud. There wasn't a lot of activity going on, but it was during a timeout. And a guy about, you know, 30 feet to our right, at the top of his lungs, yelled out, you know, Josh Carrier, you suck. You don't deserve to be wearing a Kentucky jersey. And just was going off. And you could hear him plain as day. It wasn't just our section that could hear him. And I was thinking, what possesses a grown man to yell at a college kid who busts his butt every day by going to class, busts his butt every day in practice to make himself and other players better? And he's up there probably with a bottle of Jack between his legs, yelling, not that there's anything wrong with that, but anyway, yelling at a college kid. I mean, what is wrong with those kinds of people? I don't understand.
Like I said, they're just not happy unless they're complaining. You know, it's easy to sit in the stands and say, you should do this. You know, we were just doing it about Madden and baseball, you know. It's easy to sit at home and say, you do this, do that, or
I can understand,
don't play him. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
I can understand professionals. Yeah. You know, and that's one of the part, you know, like Cal says, it's not for everybody. That's one of the unique things about Kentucky basketball. And then, you know, football in a way, too. We don't have a professional team here. And because of the history that we have, which is so great, a lot of people treat these kids as professionals.
Yeah.
And they forget.
And it's not for the coach, not for every coach. You know, Gillespie couldn't handle it. Tubby handled it in his way, but I really think it weighed on him as well. Just the momentous expectations that, you know, comes with the job. And I think Tubby did okay with the outside things, you know, the commercials and the, you know, the personal appearances and things like that. I think he did okay with that. But I believe at the end, the pressure of the job weighed on him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we went to the blue-white game. We didn't know it was going to be his last season. And I could tell, like, his body language. I was like, man, I don't know. He might be done. He might be done. Well, you got anything else on football?
No. Georgia game coming up is, like I said, I don't believe it's a must win, but it'll be a gravy win. It's a game that we're not favorites. Last I saw, we were like a 4-point underdog. All I know is Vanderbilt beat Georgia at Georgia. I see no reason Kentucky can't go out and just run the ball down their throats.
In a lot of ways, I think the gravy games are the funnest.
They are, yeah. I mean, and I hope the players don't take it that way. I hope that they still feel the pressure and want to prove something, because we are Kentucky football, and we need a big step in that direction. But, again, it's a gravy game. We don't have to have it because we have Austin Peay. We're very fortunate to have that game still to go.
Well, we have 3 wins in a row, so there's no reason why we can't get the 4.
Let's
do it Saturday. Once again, 7:30 Eastern, Kentucky, Georgia.
Are still tickets available, from
yes.
what I've heard. You know, not many. They are selling out pretty quick. And they're kind of doing a cool thing here. They're giving veterans, I think it's veterans from UK alumni veterans of the military, free tickets. They're giving away. So you need to contact the UK ticket office or whoever it was.
Yeah, and at least get out and support those guys, you know.
Yeah, let's fill the stadium. That's another thing. The Mississippi State game, the crowd was horrible. You know, it wasn't as empty as it was in the Joker Phillips time, but still there was a lot of empty seats, and we want to complain about the football. Well, get your butts in the seats, and because that makes a difference. You know, who the people that were there were loud, and it was exciting. But, man, I just can't imagine if there was another, you know, several thousand people there to just drown it out. You know, it's sad how few people support the football.
I believe that Saturday will be different. It's going to be a little bit later start. It's going to be football weather. It's going to be cool. People are going to have a few warm beverages in their bodies, and I think it's going to be a big-time crowd, Big Blue Nation. This is my prediction. I think they're going to show up to beat the Bulldogs on Saturday. And right now, we're actually going to go back to the blue line. This, again, is a little bit archived, but we've got a call from Cool Ellen, who was talking about the blue-white game. So what do you have there, Cool Ellen?
Hello, this is Cool Ellen. I just wanted to let you know that I'm really excited about the new season this year. I watched the blue and white game, and I was so excited about how well we were already passing the ball, how fast we are, and how good the players are playing together already. It's like they're already a family. I just wanted to leave that comment with Kentucky Crazies and see what y'all think about that.
All right. Thanks for that call, Cool Ellen. And, yeah, you are spot on. Now, of course, since the blue-white game, we've also got to see them play a competition with Clarion, had a 108-51 win in that. And a couple of good points there out of the gate. I really felt like that there's a chemistry there that at this point in the season – even with the best teams you have by March, you might have some chemistry issues developing early on. And I really, you know, you brought up the passing and the quickness. Of course, we already knew they were going to be quick, pretty much. Yes. Yeah, but I'm starting to see again in the Clarion game, especially where there was a comfort factor there that I don't know if I'm used to seeing any of our teams with any coach having at this point.
Yeah. It seems like something Cal really instills in all his teams early is the family aspect of the team. And it seems like this team has grasped it quicker than any other team we've had. They look for each other. I noticed I believe it was a Clarion game. Monk was driving, and he like threw a bad pass. I don't remember who it was to. But he just tried to lob it up to somebody where he should have just took the ball to the basket, you know. So Cal was like, you know, with hands in the air, well, what are you doing? You know, and Cal's look. But that's him being unselfish. And we can afford plays like that against Clarion. And against better competition, Monk may go ahead and take that to the rim. But that's instilling something early about the family, the teamwork, sharing the ball. And it's really going to pay off in the end.
Yeah, the sharings, and even how you talked about Cal responding to Monk. That I think Cal knows how to early on to get the trust of the players. Where, you know, he says himself he doesn't put in X and O plays, and we don't even have an out of bounds play yet,
and all that.
So the kids are able to kind of get out and really kind of showcase their skill sets. All along, the coaches are watching them like mad scientists to try to figure out, okay, now, wow, we didn't know this kid could do that, so we can use him. You know, you see that in Gabriel and Sasha Killia-Jones, these kids are a lot more skilled than a lot of people expected. And you know, so already the fact that Gabriel started, I know it's not a big deal right now, but a lot, you know, 2 weeks ago people were saying Gabriel is probably the ninth man, you know. So, and there he is starting.
You know, you mentioned he says he hasn't put in an out-of-bounds play. How long does it take to put in an out-of-bounds play where you stand there and just hold your hand up and they throw it over and put the tall guy there, throw the ball over into him? That's our out-of-bounds play.
That's true.
They should have known that just watching us, you know, last year in high school. Anyway, back to Gabriel starting. He probably impressed me more than anybody because I know Cal had said before about him being able to play the two-guard spot. And when he said it, I thought, no way. You know, he's just a big, tall, lanky kid. He's not going to play the two guard.
Jules Kamara can never play the two.
No. But, and my gosh, he's out there draining threes like he's Steph Curry. You know, I couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, Cal's on to something. And he's also mentioned that he may be the best shot blocker on the team. I mean, this kid's got a bright future. And, you know, we've mentioned other players before that we thought, well, you know, they're not going to be the one and done. And you kind of thought this with Gabriel and Jones in the first times we've seen them. And then Clarion, they both looked pretty daggone good.
Yes, they did. And the thing is, you know, we knew we had talent coming in, individual talent. But the thing that makes me giddy at this point, again, is the fact that there's that team chemistry that seems like it's already there. And it's not just like, I'm not talking about getting along. These kids, you know, we can see that in the blue-white game. Everybody's all smiles. Everybody's all hugging. And that's great to see. That's what we want. You know, that's what we want them to have fun and all of that. But I'm talking about on the court team chemistry where, you know, Briscoe, the guys act like they already know what each other can do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have every year a new batch of kids coming in like we do with Cal, that's not always the case where you can know what the other guys are doing. Now, we're going to make mistakes and throw the ball in the second row and all that kind of stuff. But just the naked eyeball test, it looks like, wow, this team is smooth than they should be. And that's scary as hell.
Chemistry is not always, like you said, about getting along. It's about being on the court and knowing where a certain player likes to be. You know, where does Derek Willis like his shot from? And that's
where does he like to catch it before he shoots it?
And that's where Tyler Ulis was so good because he knew that. You know, he knew where everybody liked the ball, how high you can throw it to such as, you know, whoever. And that's the things that I'm seeing pretty early. You know, we're still missing on some lob passes here and there, but learning where everybody likes the ball, how they like to handle the ball, where to give it to them on a break, you know, things like that. And I think that that's going to come quicker with this team than it has any other.
That's a good point about Ulis, is he was the kind of guy that excelled so much in that department that it really covered up a lot of issues that the other guys may have had with that. A lot of times last year, and, you know, the Nerlens team, it seemed like some pieces and parts didn't quite fit where they're supposed to. And, you know, a lot of that was, you know, with Scal not developing. There was some things, but even with Scal not on the court, there were some guys that just nothing wrong with any of the guys, but it just as a group didn't seem like it. Tyler fixed all of that mm-hmm. because he was so good at it, where at least at this point, this group seems like there's really not an issue with it. It's just going to get refined and, you know, fine-tuned as we go, which that's my big point, is that could get really scary really quick because it's already at a good point.
It is, yes.
And defensively, I didn't think we'd be good potentially defensively as we are, because our guards, they're going to lock you down, and then the back line's going to be solid. So,
and, you know, Briscoe, his shot has improved. Man, it's like a totally different player out there.
It's weird how much it's changed.
He looks comfortable even at the free throw line. You know, last year you could see sweat coming off of him when he had to shoot free throw. Man, and he's just sinking. I don't know what his numbers were, but he hasn't missed very many, and they look so smooth. If he keeps shooting the ball like he is and as good as we're going to be, because he's a defensive player, and if his offense comes around like that, if he's hitting those mid-range jumpers and we know he can get to the basket, he could be a potential player of the year. I mean, I'm not just talking about the SEC. I'm talking about nationally.
I agree. I don't know. The only thing I'd counter on that is in Cal's system, you know, last year was a little bit of an anomaly where we had to get big-time scoring out of Ulis and mm-hmm. out of Jamal. So because of, you know, what's the famous quote about Davis took the fourth all that. So that might be, I agree with you that he could do that.
But
with this system,
I agree.
You know, Kyle, I don't want to call it a system, but in this style of play, it may not factor into, but he definitely could see a top three.
If he was on Duke.
Well, if he was on Duke, he'd be shooting free throws every day.
He'd been on the first team All-American like Grayson, Tripp Allen is.
Briscoe could sniff the top three All-American teams where last year we never would have dreamed that's possible. And as far as the free throws go, it's amazing how much of that is in between the ears mm-hmm. because just having confidence can make the ball go in. And I believe I heard this correctly, his three-point percentage last year was 13%.
I
think it was 13%. And I'm confident with him shooting it so far.
Yeah, and a big credit to that goes, to Briscoe himself for working on it. You know, he's worked on that shot daily. But Cal in practice is telling him not to go to the basket. You know, he's wanting him to shoot those jumpers. So if he doesn't, you know, that's when you're going to get in trouble with Cal, when you don't take the shot. You know, and that's not just with Briscoe. That's been with players ever since he's been here. You pass up a shot, then you're being selfish.
And that's a solid point, because This year, we need him to shoot those shots because it's going to open up stuff, that the drive for the other guards, and or any player, really, because all these guys, at least right now, it looks like they can drive. And so by him taking that open jumper, it's going to keep the defense honest. Where last year, it was the opposite. We needed him to be the driver so we can get Jamal those open shots and Ulis those open shots. And so
Willis. I sent you a text during the was it the blue white game? I'm not sure.
It was blue white.
But you know, I had forgotten how and everybody think back how good we were last year when Willis was healthy. You know, he came out of didn't really come out of nowhere to us, but you know, he just blossomed and shots were falling. He's rebounding. He's playing defense, and then he had his ankle issues.
And we never, as a team, fully recovered from that.
Not at all. And it cost us in our seeding in the tournament. Had to play Indiana. You know, we got cheated on the seeding again. Just think, if he had stayed healthy, how good we'd been. Well, we've got Willis now healthy to start the season, a leader on the team. And I think he's going to have a breakout season. All he's going to do is stand there and shoot threes. How many dunks did he have against Clarion?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the thing about Willis, too, and I was going to say this about how, isn't it funny how it's never brought up in the media when our guys are injured? When we had the NIT year, Nerlens Noel, it never gets brought up. And, you know, Willis, he was able to kind of get out on the court some and play, but he wasn't the same guy.
He wasn't the same at all.
Yeah,
no.
But know what? For some reason, the media just kind of always forgets that. But Chris Duhon's rib was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know? I mean, anyway.
And we've had some injuries in the last few years that have hurt us in the tournament. You know, look at Alex Poitras when he hurt his knee. Willie in the tournament when he hurt his, was it his ankle? I don't remember what it was now. We've had some injuries that have hurt us that really have gotten no mention.
Well, I ventured my whole thing on the Willie thing is, of course, I wanted him. But Dakari did some things that I don't know if Willie could have done that helped us get to that title game.
Oh,
so.
No, that's the benefit of having the Dakari, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well.
Thanks, Cool Ellen.
Thanks, Cool Ellen. We've got Asbury coming up Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern on the SEC Network.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one.
So whenever people ask, what channel is it on, we can say together, SEC Network. Well, what channel is that on?
Same channel it was on last week.
All right, we're going to go back to the blue line right here. We got a caller asking about one of our shirts, I think. What do you got there?
Go Cats! Hey, I was just wondering, a friend of mine had one of those Kentucky ball y'all shirts, and I'd like to get one. I was wondering how to order one. Thanks!
All right, cool. Yeah, those are some new shirts. I'm glad you like the... Or one of your friends liked the shirt.
I see one laying right there behind you on the desk.
Yeah, we got them ready to go. If anybody else wants one, I've got them up on the screen right now. If you're watching this on Facebook, if you're on iTunes, make sure you follow us on Facebook so you can check that out. But yeah, just go to the website, KentuckyCrazies.com, and we got a team shop there. And on Facebook, you can go directly on our Facebook page, and we've got most of our, we're still migrating some over there, but we got most of our product. On the Facebook page, and you can buy right there on Facebook. It's really, really simple. Click the buy button, and you put in your credit card information, and then the magic, it appears at your door, or it appears in your mailbox, or however
that
works.
The thing is, right here next to the shirt, you've got your Darth Vader action figure carrying case there.
Yes, I do.
I had one of those as well.
I've got Boba Fett and all that in there. So, yeah. Let me push my nerd glasses up here real quick. But anyway, yeah, just check out our team shop. We got some new stuff in there. And, of course, Coach Cal's new book, the one that saved my neighbor's lives.
John Calipari, New York Times best-selling author. Success is the only option. The Art of Coaching Extreme Time. The new book from John Calipari. Pre-order yours today. Release date, November 15th, 2016. Pre-order your copy today from KentuckyCrazies.com.
That's on pre-order. The release date on that is November 15th. And Aaron, you got anything before we head out of here?
Just Patrick Toles. Everybody remembers him as our quarterback from the last few years who transferred to Boston College this year. Just, again, to show you how classy of a kid he is. You know, he's caught a lot of crap from his former offensive coordinators to fans, you know, like you said before, bashing the kids that are out there playing a game. Someone mentioned to him what he thought about the success right now that UK football is having. He said, it's awesome. He said, I hope they win out. I can't remember the exact quote. I should have pulled it up before I said that. He said, it's awesome. I'm happy for them. That's what was awesome. I'm happy for them. I hope they win the rest of them. So I love that kid. You know, he's a Kentucky kid, and he's still rooting for the Big Blue.
La Familia, once a cat, always a cat, unless you're a traitor.
Marvin Stone.
Yeah, God rest his soul. So anyway, we got the Kentucky-Georgia game coming up Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern kickoff, and the Cats playing Sunday night against Asbury in the final tune-up before the real season starts. And I feel like in a lot of ways, Aaron, this is, of course, our anniversary show. I think the fact that we've had a bunch of these under our belt to start the season, you know, we're getting in a rhythm now. So barring me getting sick again and a few other things, hopefully we're going to crank out one a week and maybe two a week if we get happy about it. So
as long as you take your vitamins.
Yeah, exactly. So always fun to do these, and hoping you guys are enjoying the show. Once again, call in and we'll put you on the air. It helps us have fun. And 859-780-2287 CATS. And with a voice not built for radio, Mike Hicks. And at KY Crazy Aaron, Aaron Newton.
Get your butts to the Georgia game.
Yes. And beat the Bulldogs. And beat the
Asbury.
The Asbury Raspberries. Go Cats! Happy anniversary. Until the next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KentuckyCrazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my sickness.